Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who can perform a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the greatest prima facie contradictions in sacred scripture involves today's passage, involves demons. Today, St. John, the beloved disciple, says to Jesus that they tried to stop someone casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Jesus had come to defeat the power of Satan, and these people who were not among those disciples following Jesus as he went along were doing so. The apostles at this point still didn't grasp what Jesus was doing, and they wanted to stop someone from casting out demons. In a similar way to the way that the Pharisees, because Jesus wasn't one of their number, wanted to stop him from curing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, and doing the rest. Jesus gave a very important principle. Don't stop him. Whoever is not against us is for us, he says. But this is contrasted with that passage in which Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul. And Jesus talked about himself as the stronger man, binding the strong man, the devil, and dividing his spoils. Then he punctuated that entire conversation by saying, "Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." So what is it? Those were with Jesus. You were either with Jesus or against him. Or if we're not against him, we're with him. Great saints have said it's both and, not either or, that these two passages are complementary in two ways. First, there are those who are not explicitly among the known disciples of Jesus who do act by his name and power. So we should never think that God can't work outside of even his own boundaries. That he who, for example, founded the sacraments himself can exceed the sacraments. He's able freely to work outside of them. But then second, as Chrysostom and Augustine have taught us, that there are parts of us that are with Jesus and parts of us that are not. And so the real goal of the Christian life is to bring all of us by God's power completely into harmony with the Lord. But our emphasis on these two passages do provide a little bit of a spiritual Rorschach for us with regard to whether we are being inclusive or exclusive in practice. There are many of us, especially at a time of chaos, who are exclusive. We notice the negative first. We point out those areas of separation way before we do those things that bring us together. In the ecumenical movement, there are those who oppose it because of all the differences that are there, because they start with what we disagree on rather than what we do. In the interreligious movement, it's even more acute because we're so used to distinguishing ourselves from others that we start with those points rather than the points that can bring us together. In community life, oftentimes we notice the things that ought to be criticized in others and articulate them far beyond we do the things that ought to be praised. Today's emphasis from Jesus is important for us. Whoever is not against us is for us. That we start with what unites us with people. Because then when we emphasize that bond, what is not yet united has a far better chance of coming into harmony than if we were to start by cursing what divides. Today's first reading from the book of Sirach gives us a wonderful means by which we can examine whether we begin with inclusion or exclusion. The sacred author is talking about wisdom and how God always blesses those who seek wisdom. Wisdom breathes life into her children. He who loves her loves life. Those who seek her will be embraced by the Lord. He who holds her fast inherits glory. Wherever that person dwells, the Lord bestows blessings. Those who serve her serve the Holy One. Those who love her, the Lord loves. We can go on. There are many who seek wisdom. They haven't been blessed the way that we have, with the fullness of the truth, but they earnestly seek wisdom. And God is telling us, through the inspired Ben Sirah, that God will always bless them. He will always love them. Because in seeking wisdom, they are ultimately seeking the source of wisdom. They are seeking God. And God is going to fan that flame. So for us, first moral point is, do we seek wisdom? Are we ardent? Are we trying truly to grow, to see things as God truly sees them? Many of the times we go on autopilot. We hit a point in which we think we're already formed. We might learn a little bit here or a little bit there. But what characterized us once of a hunger to the point almost of starvation to see things aright, to see things the way God does, to get to know Him and all He has revealed. Sometimes that can go into the background. We're not, of course, opposed to it. We just don't have that fire anymore. We don't have that zeal. The Lord wants us to have it because that type of zeal can become incredibly unitive. Second, how do we treat those who are really seeking wisdom? Are we able to relate to them on that level? Who hunger for God, even though they're looking for Him in wrong places? Today in our world, it's so important for us to live by a Thomistic principle, which is that everyone who acts, acts under some aspect of the good he's seeking. It might be totally disordered. They might be seeking a lesser good compared to the greatest good. But we're all acting out of some good. A murderer is acting out of a good, perhaps, of trying to be freed from the influence of the one whom he's seeking to murder. A thief is thinking about what might be able to be bought by the illicitly gained goods. The violent criminal might be doing it for the momentary pleasure. But there's always some aspect of the good on the basis of which everyone acts. And it's key for us to recognize that notion of the good, because it ultimately, if we're able to fan that, brings it back to Jesus. We remember that scene when Jesus tried to get the rich young man into a dialogue of life. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, why do you call me good? He wanted to open him up to the reality that seeing that goodness was pointing him far beyond what he thought. Jesus wanted him to recognize that no one is good but God alone. And if you're seeing that good in me, you're actually seeing God. And you're going to need to see God when I challenge you to become perfect. So do we see the good? Do we see the person who's using drugs and see the good that that person's seeking? Person seeking perhaps a little bit of peace from what the person's escaping from. Person seeking some type of satiation of what has now become a need. We can start there. When someone goes out and solicits a prostitute, as Chesterton once said, the person's actually seeking the love of God in a totally wrong way. But the person's seeking to be loved. When we get criticized by a friend, often that person is seeking our good or seeking an order for that person, him or herself, etc. But to be able to note the good that someone is seeking and start there, to begin with what might bring us into communion, so that then we could work on what is not yet in communion, either with God or with us. That's the principle. Many of us in the church focus more on what divides than on what unites. And that wasn't Jesus' way. Jesus prayed during that first Mass that we might all be one as he and the Father are one. Jesus came to bring us into communion. He had a special care for those who everyone else excluded. And he went out to call not the righteous but sinners. He went out into the peripheries, to use Pope Francis's phrase, in order to find the lost sheep and bring them back into the communion of the 99. As we celebrate this Mass, let us ask the Lord to bring to perfection in us whatever is not yet united with him, so that we can continue to go out into the world to fulfill his task of reconciling all in himself. Praise be Jesus Christ.